Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is Travis and Brian.
C-Team.
Just reminding everybody, Travis is our new regular. Travis, how much do you play Destiny?
I play a lot of Destiny, you guys. Yeah. Probably too much.
That's enough street cred for me. You're on the show permanently.
Nice.
Now, the commenters, now we're just here to make fun of you and you a hard time.
Yeah. Commenters like you. We like you. Sometimes.
Yeah. Just kidding. Let the heckling begin.
On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the festival news. We're going to be talking about the new exotic, the momentum control mode. We're going to be talking a little bit about raid drop rates because I want to complain about it. And
before he continues on, it's an old raid exotic.
Yeah, an old raid exotic. Oh, two old raid exotics.
Anarchy.
Yeah, we'll talk about some triumphs, some stuff that Brian wants to talk about. And I want to give a shout out to the dress up challenge. I put them on the back monitor this week. Three of the color schemes that were red and white, including a Fatal Chick, Morrigan, and Wadelot. Apologize if I said any Wadelot of your names.
Wait a lot.
I get it.
That's pretty good.
That's nice. But I actually really like the dress-up challenge, and I like seeing the creations people sent forward. So let's get right into it. The big news this week is that Festival of Lost is coming next week. And nice. Festival of Lost.
Spooky time. Yeah, best time of the year.
It's also going to include the Xenophage exotic bug gun that we saw at Guardian Con will actually be available next week also. So that's another exotic that is on the way. Brian, what are you excited about for Festival of Lost?
Skeleton Sparrow.
The Skeleton Sparrow.
That's all I want. I saw that skeleton. I like that. That's all I want.
There's a cool looking ship.
Yeah, oh, the bat ship. The bat ship.
And it's basically 15 minutes to win it. You will be going into the same scary sort of space, and you will be getting as many points as you can in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Haunted forest, as they call it.
Yep, and then be rewarded with drops. The coveted item you'll be pursuing this week is a machine gun. Or no, sorry. It looked like it, Brian and I had this conversation before the show. I thought it looked like a machine gun, but it's an assault rifle. And this one is called... I can't find it. Braytech Wolf Werewolf Legendary Auto Rifle.
Nice.
And I really, really like how it looks. Auto rifle. It's a 950 power weapon, and it's fully masterwork.
Yeah, the skin is cool. It obviously is designed to show like the innards of a gun, but it's like a skeleton style skin where somebody's wearing a costume.
Yeah.
And it's just like a skeleton.
Yeah.
So that's the skin of the gun.
Just not enough machine guns in the game, so I'm happy they're adding more of them.
It's an auto rifle.
Oh.
I made that mistake, too.
Whoops.
I made that mistake,
I actually
too.
Thought it was an LMG.
Yeah, because if you look at it...
I mean, don't get me wrong. The look of it, the skin does make it look like an LMG. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't last year's an auto rifle, too?
It was. Horror Story was the...
Horror Story, that's right.
Horror Story was sort of an archetype similar to the Gambit one. Am I incorrect in that, or correct?
No, I think it was... I hate to say the real word reskin, but I mean, like it's the same archetype of Origin Story, the Vanguard auto rifle. And then this one is...
had some good perks.
Yeah, it's a 450.
I never got that auto rifle.
Horror Story or Origin Story?
Horror Story. Yep. I have Origin
Story,
but I remember it being
grind,
good.
Dude, yeah, like that's the one thing I'm hoping is that A, it's not just like a reskin of... What's that area called? The place?
The Infinite Forest?
Infinite Forest.
It's exactly as it was from last year. They haven't shown anything from it, though.
Yeah,
have they showed a clip from it?
Well, they have one image of it. Yeah, it does look vexified.
That for sure is just...
I doubt it's going to be anything different from last year unless they add some like spooky candles or something.
I'm not looking forward to that grind. It was so brutal.
Well, the grind might be different. So I'm personally, it's a nice event. I'll go in and I'll check it out. I'm not as big of a fan of Festival of Lost. It's cute that they redesigned the tower. I like the sort of aesthetic. I like that it's temporary. For me, it's not that big of a deal. we'll see how the grind is for the assault rifle. I want to talk about another grind that happened this previous week, though, for Leviathan's Breath. Now, this was a coveted exotic heavy bow. It sort of has a charge up rate, and it blasts back enemies when you hit them with a bow. Did you get the bow?
Yep.
Did you?
I did.
And so did I, because it took about 30 minutes
to get the bow. Yeah.
It was a really easy grind. So let's start with positives. I like that it wasn't gated. I like that it wasn't like a weekly gate, that it wasn't too complicated. Mm. I didn't feel, I don't know, it was too easy.
It was, because you do that reprise of the strike, which isn't really much of a reprise, like doing all the same stuff in that strike. You always do it with a few changes. Yeah, it's just the only thing that I really noticed that was different was the boss
was harder.
The boss is a little bit harder, and you just kind of just can't stay in place.
Yeah,
for a few seconds at a time because of the
black light
bombardments,
bombardments from above.
Yeah, but didn't they have the melee thing? Melee's like
blackout is on.
Blackout.
Yeah, and I think with blackout the radar's disabled. But yeah, so it makes it real tough with the big cabals.
Yeah,
butchers.
I got the bow. It was a very quick grind. I ran through it with people who had run the strike already, and I was streaming. So chat was like, "Hey, the boss is really harder," and we're like, okay, we're going to dips him as much as possible going up that elevator, and we dropped him really quick.
Yeah.
So we did our first try, and it was one and done, and we had that bow in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, so when you go in with
shout out to McCadley, and I think it was Showman or Grover or Freedom.
When you go in with people that aren't communicating, then it's just kind of a mess because everybody's doing their own thing, and they have their own way about how they want to go about it, and then...
Yeah, honestly, the part that took me the longest with that quest was finding the gunsmith's room. I spent like 20 minutes doing that, and then the rest of the quest was just in a second.
I thought it would be hard, but then a blueberry ran right to it, and I'm like, oh, this blueberry is clearly going.
A YouTube video just now to find it.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it was because the first room you need to go to was always open in the tower, like in Vanilla Destiny, that little secret room that had the tape on the table that you could investigate.
Yeah.
I saw somebody up there. I was like, well, I haven't seen anybody up there in like 2 years. So that's probably where it's at.
Yeah.
So you go up there, and then there's a new door open in there.
Gotcha.
So my take is, quest seemed too easy. Bow, it's another exotic, but I don't know that we're necessarily going to find a use case for it, or maybe we will in the future.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Taraba. It's just a nice thing to check off of your list.
Yeah.
In your exotic quest line. Did you feel the same way, or do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, basically my thought with all these things is I don't like it when it's incredibly hard to get because they're giving you just like an arbitrary grind to go through. But I also don't like when it's too short because then you don't feel like you accomplished anything. So I think the middle ground is to like create unique content, like maybe just at least one thing that's unique, and then you can put a grind leading up to it, which I think is what they've done in the past. Where they kind of give you like one unique thing at the end, but we didn't even get that.
We got nothing unique. Yeah, that's actually one of my biggest takeaways from the Leviathan's Breath quest step is that it suffers from other exotic quests. It's like, hey, here's all this 2-year-old content that we've done, and we're gonna mash it together so that way you get an exotic out of it. And it's just
and also hasn't like 3 or 4 exotic quests ended in that strike?
Yeah, I love
Legend
that
of
strike.
Legend of Acrius ended in that strike.
And
I don't know if it, I don't know if it ends. In, I don't know if it ends. Well, Racking was just Nightfall, wasn't it?
Racking was Nightfall points, but the first week it was the arms strike. Dealer. So arms dealer has been the strike we end up running often. It's a great strike.
Oh,
Bungie.
It's a great strike. I love that strike. It's fun, but like, it's just like,
here's like a shadows again. I don't know.
We're in year 3. Here's this brand new year 3 weapon and like this archetype that's never been a heavy before. Do this old strike.
You know why they can't do it? They can't do the new strikes because it's available to everybody. It's free for all players.
That's I'm not saying that, but that's which is fine, but
they could have done other strikes. They could have done Inverted Spire, which also literally, was the Nightfall.
I guess. You know? I mean, maybe literally any other strike.
Oh, so Leviathan Raid is the one anyone can get, and then this next week is the one.
Yeah, Leviathan's. Oh, yeah. So Xenophage is that only exclusive to Shadowkeep players?
Yeah, one of them.
Which
is.
One?
Xenophage.
I think that's the one. Right?
Xenophage is tied to. We won't know until next.
I actually don't know if it's tied to Undying or if it's Shadowkeep.
I thought Leviathan's Bow was also exclusive to Season Pass holders.
Xenophage is not on the roadmap, as near as I know. Let me take a look.
But anyway, either way.
We look up the roadmap so much.
I will. Well, it's because they changed it, and it's harder to find which one is the legitimate one. Right. But Brian, there was another topic we wanted to discuss, and you sort of brought this up in your show notes, and that is the one about titles. So I've been doing a lot of title chasing lately, and the TWAB this week had some sort of disappointing news about how titles will work going forward.
So I want to preface this by saying that I'm actually kind of okay with titles disappearing at the end of its season and not being able to get it. The biggest problem I have with that system is you have the ritual weapons, which are very lengthy grinds that require you to play a whole bunch of PvE.
1029, it's Xenophage, and it does have the icon that means it requires Shadowkeep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So yeah, so what I was saying is like the Season of the Eights, Season of Undying's collections badge requires Edgewise, Exit Strategy, and Randy's Throwing Knife.
The first two of those are easy.
Easier, sure. But they're still pretty long grinds. But you know, Randy's Throwing Knife. That's a long grind.
Yeah,
a lot of people have it. Yes, but it's a long grind. So that collection badge requires you to get three weapons that require a long grind in PvP, PvE, and Gambit. And so it's requiring you to get all of those titles plus all of those items from the collections badge in that season time. And then if you don't get Randy's Throwing Knife or Exit Strategy or Edgewise within that season, you can't get that title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the MXVII title, also, you can't acquire that anymore. And
which
for me,
is fine.
Well, it's the same principle, isn't it?
Well, no, because of the long grind that you have to do to get those within that certain amount of time, but is still available after the season ends. You can still get Randy's Throwing Knife in season 9, but you just can't get the title now.
That's odd. I wonder why. Interesting. It's an odd design decision to just prevent us from getting a title for a piece of content that we pre-ordered. Let's read what they actually said specifically about this. We start with the goals. Provide more tiers of pursuit for our players. Provide seasonal pursuits that match each season of Destiny. Ensure everyone has a chance to show off their accomplishments. Starting with Shadowkeep, individual triumphs can now have tiers. This isn't the part. A title to match the season. They're talking about the roadmap or anything. All right. Sorry, I'm catching up. During Season 8, a new situation will unfold on the moon. Over the course of the season, the situation will be resolved, and some of the related activities will go away as Season 9's conflict arrives. This will also be true of the title associated with Season 8. Both the triumphs and badge for the new title will ask players to participate during the season. That's just a typo. To participate during the season on Undying, once the conflict has been resolved, players will no longer be able to earn the season's title Undying.
So here was my other point that I wanted to make with that, with my issue with them taking this title away, is that a lot of the title is Vex Offensive related, but now when season 8 ends and season 9 comes, you can't get that title, but a lot of it requires you to play Gambit. Which is not related to Vex Offensive at all.
Yeah.
I've never really understood the philosophy of taking away activities. Like I get
or titles or like pursuits.
Yeah.
So they're trying to provide more pursuits, but they're like, by the way, just don't worry about season 8 because once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, yeah.
It does make it a little bit more coveted.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
But
sure.
I don't know, man. We have like a month or 40 days left.
If everything in the title was very specific to season 8, like, hey, here's season 8 content. Only doing season 8 content will get you this title. But this season 8 title requires you to do old stuff that's not even related to this season. So it's like, that's why I don't agree with them taking it away.
It sounds like they're taking away Vex Offensive, and maybe it's because of the final assault. It just seems like, why would you take away activities? I don't even like Vex Offensive, but like, you know, it's part of what players paid for in Shadowkeep, and it feels like you're kind of removing a piece of it, which is weird to me. Yeah, and then also just like gating the badges seems strange too.
Especially since like most of the community has kind of expressed that Shadowkeep itself kind of feels light on content.
Yeah, so now that we're further out, it does feel like there's less and less to do. This week, a lot of my friends are not playing anymore because they've kind of done everything.
Same.
Some of the best parts are like the Eris spirits and, you know, sort of making those goes away. The ghosts and the storytelling with the ghosts. Mm-hmm. That stuff is really, really good. Organic. I actually like
it. If it's leading up to something.
If it's leading up to something.
I think it will. I mean, they kind of allude to it, actually.
Yeah.
I made a joke with Teddy.
We know Bungie. They allude to a lot of things. That's true.
I made a joke with
time to explain.
Teddy on Discord about the ghost. Like, we're going to do the next ghost last week. And she'll be like, you did it, Guardian. Oh, wait. What's happening? Oh, no. There's seven more ghosts. And you have to get their spirits
away. Oh, this
away.
Is my other fire team that I had afterwards. Dang it. Spooky ghosts.
Yeah. Darn spooky ghosts. You need to get
grenade launcher.
You need to get grenade launcher double kills to get this one vanquished.
Oh, no. Savathun did a seven-week curse this time. We're in a loop again.
Oh, spooky.
Head to the last wish and defeat Riven. Go!
Dude, if that happens.
Oh, my God.
If that happens, I'm staging a walkout of the tower.
Yeah.
All in all,
I like that part though.
In season titles, don't force me to do stuff that's not related to the season, and then take away the title afterwards.
Yeah. Here's another thing. What if it was an activity we liked? Like, what if they took away Menagerie after the last season? Like, I feel like
they kind of did.
Well, I mean, it's still there. You can play it. You can do those activities. Yeah. But Vex Offensive, I feel like, is like nobody cares. Like,
yeah. But it definitely wasn't something as meaty.
If it were good activity, I feel like we'd all be kind of.
Oh yeah. I think it is a little bit of a people aren't really super into Vex Offensive, so nobody's like, you know, like pitchforking out to keep it. But you know, if they did introduce something new like the Menagerie and they take it away in the next season, and people will start going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, or a raid. I doubt they'll do that. But
real quick, I want to discuss what the biggest problem with Shadowkeep is, and it's plain as day to most people that are grinding away. That is the power grind. The power grind is unobtainable. It's you're unable to hit 960. And Bungie hasn't said if this is going to be the power grind through the next few seasons. If 960 is the pinnacle, because then we would
if they increase it to 970.
Yes. For season 9, which is the next season, if we are going to get an increased power ranking or something, or somehow they're going to change how the systems work, then it is a little bit more lenient. But right now, absolutely nobody is incentivized to chase 960, so you've actually destroyed what is one of my favorite parts of Destiny, and that's hitting that power cap by doing the raid, by doing whatever. We have limited, powerful resources. It is a weird system that forces you to get one specific drop that you need in a slot before you can go to 952, for example. And it is really detrimental to the overall experience of Destiny.
Yeah.
And I feel that is the biggest mistake with Shadowkeep. So if that is incorrect, and this is the power grind to 960 that we'll be chasing through the next few seasons, then I think Bungie needs to say something. And if it's not, they need to come out and say that this is a mistake.
Or
it is a mistake.
Oh yeah, if it is the case, don't take away our pinnacle activities. Mm-hmm. Like, they took away a lot of our pinnacle activities when Shadowkeep launched. So when season 9 drops, don't make it so where Garden of Salvation and the Nightfall don't no longer give you a pinnacle gear drop.
Yeah.
When I hit 950, it's fine if you take them away until I hit 950, but once I hit 950, if you're only going to give me the raid for pinnacle drops and then situational events like Iron Banner, that's sort of a problem.
And now the Master Nightmare Hunt?
Yeah.
I think it is. That gives you a pinnacle drop?
I actually didn't do
this. I haven't done it.
Yeah.
There's three, right?
980.
There's no reason to do it.
980.
Yeah, it's 980.
Well, no, because you do three, but then there's one that you get for doing, I think you'd get for doing the Master version.
That would make sense.
That's another problem. The resources, the Ascendant Shards and everything, there's no reason to fully masterwork your armor, or maybe there's one piece if you're doing the PvP glitch.
That, to me, is the worst part, which is that like you're not incentivized to bring things up to your power and infuse things, because it's like, oh, it's going
to
be...
I'm not going to infuse something to 952.
And then you'll just have to replace it when you get to 953.
I bring everything up to 5 so I can put on an int mod or just one of the higher level mods that I might need to get my int disc strength, resilience, and everything where I want it, and then I leave it alone or I swap in the higher piece of gear. It's an odd system, and I think Bungie needs to publicly say like what their goals are here, how much time are we going to have for this grind, because people are stopping playing. Like the hardcore people that are grinding this game are just like, I'm going to wait for the next season. I'm done. And I'm sort of feeling the same way. Like, what do I have to grind towards now? I've hit 950. 960 is impossible. Yeah. Why would I continue pursuing this 960 that is unobtainable?
I think there's
you hit 100 in your season pass yet?
What?
On your season pass, did you hit 100?
I'm really close to 100. And I'm like I'm 89. At 100 now, yeah. I'm at 89. And that's just, I started playing casually this last week. So
I think the real problem is that there's really nothing to do with your power. But yeah, speaking to the issue with the power grind, they kind of do have to, they need to explain like what their plan is with it and how long this grind's going to be. Because if their plan is to have like a really long tail to this thing, then that makes sense. But otherwise, it's really frustrating. The other thing is, I think Festival of the Lost will probably be like the PvE. Iron Banner. I think it'll have a bunch of pinnacle drops and
potential.
Yeah, they already did say I believe that the Braytech Werewolf auto rifle will cap at 950.
It'll drop at 950 Masterworks.
Right. Yeah, so it's not going to be a pinnacle item.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That sucks.
Yeah. maybe Ava will have some bounties that end up being pinnacle. That'd be nice, but
can't wait to infuse that auto rifle so that it's a 952.
Yeah.
It's
gonna be great.
I really hope that the entire year of content isn't them increasing the power by 10. So next season it's 970, but it's still just under the same hard cap, soft cap, where the grind from 950 to 970 is still just as slow as 950 to 960.
I don't think they'll do that, but I've been wrong before. It's very clear that they're changing everything in the game to appeal toward the players they already have, not new players, right? So,
but even the hardcore are just like, yeah, dude, you can't hit season cap. Don't even go for it. At least that's the sentiment.
It's just because by the time the season ends, there's a new cap
of time. Right. It is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And I think that's something they need to think about. Like, this isn't really a complaint. I'm just saying, as a player, and what I've heard from the majority of players is there's no incentivization to chase 960 because it seems impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not like, oh man, if I do this or that, or if I min-max here or here, there's no way to get there. There aren't enough drops in the season to hit that cap. And you have de-incentivized all your super hardcore players like me, Brian, anybody that would be chasing 960.
But not Travis.
Definitely not Travis.
I'm just here for Crucible.
Yeah. Yeah.
My opinion doesn't matter.
And it's something that needs to be addressed or looked at, in my opinion. Let's talk about Crucible. Momentum Control, described as Bungie, like their version of Halo SWAT. One of my favorite modes.
Bring it on.
What's funny is when I was reading the description, I was like, this kind of sounds like SWAT. And then they called it out at the bottom. I was like, yeah.
It's all I've ever wanted from a Destiny game was a SWAT-like mode. And that's mostly because I suck. A lot of the times I get to drop on players.
Yeah.
But I'll lose the firefight.
So it's
if they're like have way less health and my guns do way more damage and I get the drop, I'll probably win the firefight.
Yeah.
Sounds like you need to be playing Call of Duty because that's the short time to kill there.
So what was your take when reading this? Are you excited?
Yeah.
And why don't you explain what you remember off the top of your head?
Cool. So momentum is basically all damage, all weapons have damage increases and abilities are toned down so that it's harder to get your melee, your grenade, and especially your super. Yeah. You don't have a tracker. Heavy ammo spawns all the time. And hits really hard, obviously, because all weapon damage is increased. And
especially against supers. Supers are the 1,000-pound gorilla, but they can be taken out easily by heavy. I like that.
Heavy weapons are increased against supers.
The other thing is that when you have your super in this game mode, you get way higher damage resistance, they said, so that you're going to be more tanky. And then also instant respawn times, I believe, is one of them, which is pretty cool.
One thing I do not want to hear from people complaining about heavy spawn rates, people being too powerful in their supers and being too squishy. Go play regular PvP if you don't like it.
Yeah. So it's probably gonna be a radar's off. If I see you first, you're done, and that'll be cool because I think it'll probably result in people splitting up and not staying in a group because you want to get like behind somebody or take them from the side, and that sort of thing. But it could also just be everybody goes for heavy ammo and it's just an absolute like mess. I can see that being the case So
they're launching it next week. I'm excited to try it out.
I'm excited to play it.
It'll be cool.
Continuing on the PvP topic thread, last week I whined and complained that something seemed off.
That seems unlike you, Dustin.
Something seemed off.
When has he ever complained? Let's look at old episodes. Hold on.
Something seemed off about the solo glory grind. Occasionally, like, I would have a bad team and the other team would seem stacked. on October 24th, 2019, a lot of people said I was crazy, so I felt really vindictive about this. Bungie said, "We have deployed new changes to matchmaking settings for all playlists except Classic Mix to address skill mismatches. We'll continue to monitor feedback and matchmaking data."
Wow.
So I wasn't crazy, and I played a bunch of Glory Grind, and here's the thing. Those matches were awesome. I'm being paired against teams that are really good. My team's fairly competent. We're going toe-to-toe. We're getting... It was like 3-3 down to the last point. Really close matches. That's the kind of PvP.
You weren't getting steamrolled, is what you're saying.
I was not getting steamrolled. These were close matches that came down to skill. And that's what Glory should be all about. And it was great. And also, we asked last week about Iron Banner. I played so much Iron Banner last week. I actually still really love that mode. And a lot of our commenters in chat were saying, "Hey, I went in underleveled. I had a great time. I got my character leveled up." Do you guys have any comments about this Glory change? Are you grinding Glory at all? Are you, Brian?
No. I mean, I am. But yeah, the...
You going to grind my Glory for me?
No, not at all. Not on PC.
You?
So my thoughts on this are that... I hope that... What if they just posted that for you? They didn't make any changes. They were just like, we're going to post this, and then we'll see it and be like, yeah.
Yeah, Destin. No.
But I mean, this has been a problem in Destiny for a really long time, and it's a problem that's usually played to my strengths because I get to be on the stomping side. But yeah.
All right, calm down.
It needed to happen.
It did.
1v1 me, bro. 1v1 me, Brian.
When the swap mode comes out, when momentum control comes out,
when no radar can protect you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed that. I'm liking. Those changes. Titan with one-eyed mask needs to be addressed.
I know you're
looking at it. It's been a year. It's time that you address the Titan problem. Here's from D-Shock. "When I started playing Iron Banner this season, I was in the 930s and didn't have any issues getting the armor set in a couple of afternoons after I got off work. Really didn't lose any matches either, but that is on PS4. And I just wanted to try and find a few others. Well, I looked through here. So, Brian, while I do that,
yeah.
Is there anything else you want to complain about before we...
Oh, sure.
I think there was one more thing you want to talk about.
If we want to go back to the Festival of the Lost.
Yeah, go for it.
The Masquerader's helmet is required. I don't like that.
For which one?
The Masquerader's helmet.
Yeah.
You have to wear it in order to get...
Progress.
Candy drops or chocolate strange coins, as they're calling them. I would have preferred, and then all the masks are ornaments to that mask.
That's a better way to do it. My vault is still filled with masks.
That's fine. That's fine. It's just I wish that all masks were ornaments during Festival of Loss, and that way we're not forced into, because I immediately lose my build that I'm running with my warlock, which Nezarek Sin, using Oppressive Darkness and Breach grenades and all that such. And just I won't be able to do that all during the Haunted Forest if I want to get candy and strange coins and do all that stuff, because I have to wear this helmet.
Right.
And that immediately negates me being able to do that.
Is the helmet still zero power too?
I don't think the helmet will be zero power. Because it's an actual helmet that...
Mm-hmm. Right.
That I don't think it's going to get you down to zero power.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Which should be kind of silly, but...
Got a few more comments about Iron Banner last week, and I actually really like this collaboration. You guys were awesome this week. Thank you so much. Penny Alice said, "I'm new to Destiny, so just had my first Iron Banner and been playing at around 920. Haven't had as horrid of a time as I thought. I still feel that when I play smart, I come out on top, and when I have a stinker, I have a stinker."
Destiny,
I
always just prefer... sounds like you're bad. I think that's what happened.
This is Penny Alice.
No.
Now you're making fun of the audience.
She didn't have trouble. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
I had a great time. I didn't say anything negative. Okay. Sean Finnegan did.
Oh, okay.
He did.
That's right, buddy, what we were talking about. I forgot about him.
And then Jesse Reed said, "I've been watching Fireteam chat for years, and I think it's the first time I've ever commented. Weird. Anyway, I'm not a PvP guy at all. I really don't play PvP at all outside of Iron Banner.
Brian.
Fellow Iron Banner fan. And even though I only play every other or every third rotation, hell." Anyway, his point is, finish the pursuit and all the bounties in plenty of time to spare. Yeah.
Nice.
In around 6 hours. Yeah, I did all of them. I played a ton of Iron Banner. I actually finished out the Iron Banner Triumph page.
Nice.
I had a grindy time. But I don't know why. I just wanted to do it this season.
You enjoy your zero triumph scores?
Yeah.
Oh, why? So
good. I don't get it.
The zero triumph score thing is weird.
That's why I looked at that and I was like, I'm not going for any of these. I don't care. Yeah. Like, so there's zero. There's nothing.
I think the reason they started doing that was the zeros were on the timed ones because they didn't want to make any points you couldn't get. But it sounds like now they're going to do that anyway, right? They're locking out triumphs after a certain season. So I'm wondering.
Well, then why do all the season 8 triumphs have score?
Yeah, I think they're changing philosophies. I think that's
it's just like I just don't put a triumph score that has 0 points.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to do that, give me something for getting that triumph, like, I don't know, an emblem or material, something. Like, otherwise it makes the triumph pointless. Like, mm-hmm. It's not taking a tally, it's not doing anything. It's just a text box in a UI somewhere.
That's true. The very last thing I wanted to discuss is Bungie. I don't know if you know this. Something is wrong with Anarchy Drops. I thought this...
I got it my first try, so it's totally fine, but go ahead.
You got it your first try. So I've been tweeting about my escapades of trying to get the Anarchy to drop.
I've been watching.
And I am at 19 clears, 19 loots, right?
So I ended up having to do a little over 20 before I got mine. I have freakishly bad luck, though. I think I've mentioned that before.
I had 20. There's people that are worse.
I've heard people...
I saw a guy got 100.
30 to 40 runs. I'm hearing that's what it is for this one specific drop. If you actually listen to the show, maybe just like, if that's intentional, okay. It just seems odd because I've been tweeting about my experience and so many people are responding like, it took me 40 clears. It took me 109 clears for one guy.
That seems oddly insane. Yeah, that seems like really the most unlucky guy in Destiny.
But Teddy has said he will throw me a anarchy themed party, so I have two victories. If I get to 100, I get an anarchy themed party, or I just get anarchy. I kind of want the party more than the gun now.
We should just celebrate either way. Like, if you get anarchy, we have a party. If you make it to 100 with no anarchy, we have a party. If you make it to 150 and you finally get it, we'll have another party.
And I'm only at like 4 clears for Taraba. Those are the last two exotics I need. I just want to complete my exotic.
You don't have Taraba?
I don't have Taraba.
Is that required for the title for Shadow? I don't remember.
I think it is, right?
Yeah.
The drop isn't that bad, though. I think I got that.
Yeah, I got that. So I have that.
Most people get that within 10 runs.
Yeah.
So Taraba is not nearly as bad. It's also a gun I don't really want.
It's not great.
Yeah. I don't really want anarchy either.
It could be amazing if like you could do anything and it didn't deproc.
Yeah.
So Anarchy actually has some exploits, though. You can use it for...
Oh, I want it to cheese everything, of course.
Yeah, you can cheese, yeah.
Is it cheesing, though, if it's just you're just using the gun as it was designed?
Brian, come on.
Anyway, that's everything I had for this episode. I have a homework assignment for those of you that like to comment. I want to hear about your favorite thing in Shadowkeep. We're going to talk about this next episode. And your least favorite thing about Shadowkeep, so we can keep the conversation going. Dungeons are next week. The dungeon is right around the corner. We got a new exotic.
I hope there's dragons.
There are things coming that are
necrochasm
that we are excited about. And
please,
I hope you enjoyed this
necrochasm.
Show. Travis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you.
Yeah.
That's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.